Welcome to the Vanguard Church Podcast. You're about to hear a sermon from Vanguard Church Central in the heart of Colorado Springs. With every message, it's our prayer that you hear and learn how to live out your faith in real relationship with Jesus and with others. May your faith be strengthened, your hope increased, and your heart inspired to live for Jesus no matter the cost. Stay tuned. Thanks for listening.
God is on the move. God is on the move. And God is going to move in your heart today, and He is going to do something that we affectionately here at Vanguard call a new beginning. This is a new beginning. In your life, in your journey, you're going to hear 11 people do a better job than me today in articulating how Jesus Christ has changed their life forever. Amen? Come on, amen? Amen. I want to introduce you to a book really quick. This was written 8 years ago, Friend of Sinners, Taking Risks to Reach the Lost. If you're new to Vanguard, these are in the lobby. We would love for you to read the story of Vanguard and learn how it came into existence. See, Vanguard came into existence 28 years ago. It was birthed in the mind of Jesus Christ, and we were waiting to get our leaky pipes fixed, and there was a knock at the door, and the person at the door, I thought was a man, turned out to be a woman, invited her lesbian lover to Vanguard. That's how this church started. You go, really? Really? And I grew up on a dairy farm in Kentucky. Put all that together, right? God has surprises for your life. God has surprises for your life. And today I have affectionately named the message, Ho Go. Because she was a hoe. And the religious community wanted to use her to condemn Jesus. And isn't it interesting that Jesus took upon himself the condemnation of our lives so that we could be clothed in the righteousness and in the love of the Lord Jesus Christ? That's good news. That's good news. And this is a new beginning. I want to invite you today to take your program, take your Bible, take your internet device. I want to invite you to be a virtual evangelist. There are people out there whose lives are desperately falling apart, and we are not the answer to their problems, but Jesus is. A real relationship with Jesus Christ is the answer. And you never know when you share a service, you never know how God is going to use that moment to change somebody's life forever and ever and ever. We're going to begin today in John chapter 7, verse 53. Hopefully you received a program when you came in. And we're going to start today in verse 53. Listen to this. They went each to his own house. John 8:1. But Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. I've been there. It's an incredible spot. Jesus went to the Mount of Olives to pray, and he spent all night praying and getting prepared for what we're going to read next. And I want you to understand that there are people in our church that have been praying and been praying over this service today, praying for you that are getting baptized today. And the miracles that you're going to see today have been birthed in prayer, and God is on the move. Verse 2. Early in the morning, he came again to the temple, and all the people came to him. And he sat down and taught them. What a beautiful moment. It's early in the morning. He comes to the temple. I've been there. I've been to this temple mount. It doesn't look like it did when Jesus walked the face of the earth because it has been destroyed in a lot of ways. But the temple mount still exists in Israel today where there is incredible, obviously, angst taking place there right now. So they came and they sat down. So I want you to imagine this being the Temple Mount today. And we've spent all night praying, or Jesus has spent all night praying, and now we've come together for a Bible study. And I want you to understand the context. What we're getting ready to read is a church service. And I want you to understand that Jesus does church differently. Jesus is looking for the people that everybody else has overlooked. Jesus is looking for the people that don't feel like they fit anywhere, because Jesus wants you to know he died for you. Now watch this. Verse 3. The scribes and the Pharisees, they brought a woman who had been caught in, somebody say, what? Adultery. Okay. And placing her in the midst. Now, some of you may be new to church, and the New Testament was originally written in the Greek text, in a Greek language, known as the Koine Greek, or the language of the common people. And I want you to hear the native tongue by which the Bible was originally recorded. Listen to this. It's in your program. Agousa de oi grammates kai oi pherese oi pros auton gunaka in moi ekia kate le menon eon kai stresantes autain in meso. Brought now the scribes and Pharisees to him. Gunakai, a woman, moikia, in the act of adultery. In the very act of adultery, caught. And I want you to hear this word. They stood her up in the midst. Now, pardon my PG-13 conversation here. Is sex usually engaged in clothes or no clothes? Oh, no clothes. Okay. Caught in the very act of adultery, they brought her. Now, maybe they said, and you know, maybe this is a cleaned up G version church, but I'm guessing that they were trying to really get Jesus. And when you're trying to really get Jesus, you got to make it pop, right? So they caught her in the very act. I'm guessing they didn't say something like this. Hey, we need to put some clothes on, sweetie. We're going to go see Jesus at church today. Right? I doubt that happened. I mean, the Bible says that they caught her in the very act, and I want you to catch this, and they stood her up. They didn't let her cower. They didn't let her cover herself. They didn't let her hide her shame. This church service, their goal was to use her to shame her so they could ultimately condemn Jesus, but it's going to backfire on them because they don't know the Jesus that is going to give his life for all of humanity. And so they bring this woman in the most vulnerable moment of her life. And she's engaged in adultery. They bring her into church. So I want you to imagine I'm sitting up here. Not that I'm Jesus. Don't be confused. But I'm sitting up here and I'm teaching. And in comes a group of Pharisees and scribes, the experts in religion. And they bring a completely naked woman up on stage. And they stand her up before us. You go, well, this is a little awkward. It will be a little jolting, right? Somebody bring her a blanket. Somebody, help us with this situation. They walk in on her. And she's engaged in sexual activity with somebody else's husband. And they bring her immediately and they disrupt the service. So look at what verse 4 says. They said to him, teacher, teacher, this woman has been caught in the act of adultery. She's been caught. And I want you to see the Greek tongue again here, legousin autou. They said to him, didaskali, teacher, aute this, the gune, that means woman, the woman, katalethein, she was caught. She was caught in the very act of committing adultery. Look at verse 5. Now in the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. So what do you say? Now, this is a moment. Now, I don't know for a fact that she was completely naked, but I think she probably was. And here's a moment in a Bible study where Jesus is being challenged by those that he's supposed to be leading. And here is a woman that's really in a tough predicament. And this is going to be Jesus showing who he is and his heart for humanity. Now, I want you to understand that if you go on this little device, just about everybody seems to be taking their clothes off on this little device these days. I mean, it seems like about 87% forgot to buy clothes. So we've got a world that is naked. We've got a world that is naked, and we've got to decide if we're going to drink up the images of their nakedness or if we're going to recognize that they're so broken that they take their clothes off so somebody will notice them. Somebody notice me. Somebody tell me that I have value. Somebody tell me that there's good reason for being on this earth. Look at verse 5. In now the law of Moses, it commands the woman caught to be stoned. What do you say? What do you say? So let's look at what the law of Moses says, because the law of Moses oftentimes gets a bad rap. Because I want you to understand that the best way that the enemy works in the church is that he gets religious people to misquote the Bible, or even worse, half quote the Bible. Let's half quote it so we can make our point. Well, look at what it says in Leviticus 20:10. If a man commits adultery with the wife of his neighbor, both the adulterer and the adulteress shall surely be put to death. So when I read that, you know what I thought? Where is the andros? That's the Greek word for man or husband, depending on the context. I mean, if we're going to follow the Levitical law, then where's the man? Where is he? See, they weren't trying to live by truth. They were trying to get rid of truth. And this is one of the most damning things about church, where we try to use half-truths to get rid of the truth. Because we're so afraid that somebody's going to find out something. They're going to find out that we're not all we thought we were. We're not all we actually hoped we were. We don't need to be any of that. We just need to look to Christ, to Jesus himself. And so these religious people were threatened because Jesus was taking away their popularity. Jesus was taking away all that they had established in his name, but not his way. So what's going on here? I love this. Verse 6. John's going to tell us what's going on here. This they said to test him. Now I want you to know something. You can test Jesus. He'll always pass. He'll always pass. Jesus is a straight A student when it comes to the things of the Bible, the things of church, the things of God, the things of the world, you name it. You name it. Jesus is an A-plus student. So they said this to test him, that they might have some charge to bring against him. And Jesus bent down and wrote with his finger on the ground. Huh. Don't you wish somebody would have recorded what he wrote? Wouldn't you love to know what he wrote? Some scholars, because many believe that this woman was a prostitute, she was a hoe. Most scholars believe that Jesus began to write the names of the men in the audience that had brought her, that had been with her. Oh, talk about a damning moment. And it's like, oh, what if my wife finds out? What if my children find out? What if my employer finds out? See, it's very interesting how when we want to throw somebody else under the bus for hypocritical reasons, how Jesus comes to our defense. And Jesus, let me just say it real clear, don't mess with Jesus. Don't give him a test unless you want to see what it looks like to ace a test, because Jesus aces every test. Look at verse 7. As they continued to ask him, he stood up. And they said to them, let him who is without sin among you be the first to throw a stone at her. I want to read that part again. Because some scholars argue that this can be translated, let him who is without this kind of sin that you've brought to condemn her with. Because many, many scholars believe that the perpetrator, the man that was actually caught with her in the act of adultery, was in the crowd with them. They knew him. And they were not trying to get to truth. They were trying to get to Jesus and trip him up and see if they could throw him off his game. Jesus is saying, don't publicly condemn others for sins you refuse to confess yourself, that you've done yourself in private, that you wouldn't want anybody to know. See, when the Bible says, don't judge unless you want to be judged the same measure, don't go there unless you want to be done to the same measure. So how do we experience new beginnings with Jesus? Number one, let go of others' self-righteous judgment of you. Let go of others' self-righteous judgments of you. If you hear in your head the voice of other people that says you can never become anything of worth, you have got to say today, Lord, that is not your voice. That's not the voice of God. The voice of God is always providing a way forward for redemption to come out of the brokenness of our lives. Always, always, always. People seeking to condemn you, and I want you to hear this very clearly, people seeking to condemn you already feel condemned themselves. People seeking to condemn you already feel condemned themselves. Now, I think it's interesting that Jesus may have written the sins of the stoners in the dirt. And I think it's interesting that, you know, when you want to challenge Jesus, Jesus can always take your challenge. He can always win. Look at verse 8. And once more, he bent down and he wrote on the ground. We don't know again what he wrote. But when they heard it, they went away one by one. And I want you to see this part, beginning with the older ones. And Jesus was left alone with the woman standing before him. See, older people know, pardon my frankness, because I am one of them, okay? As we get older, we know we're full of it, okay? We do. I mean, if you're honest, it's like you've got enough real estate behind you. If you want to turn around and look at your life, none of us have a resume to compare to Jesus' resume. And we can all look at the brokenness of our lives. And I will tell you something. There is something happening on Wednesday nights in our Real Marriage Seminar. People are confessing brokenness. They're confessing sexual sin. They're confessing all of these things. And listen, there is healing that is occurring in T6 on Wednesday nights right now. There are marriages that are being saved right now in our midst. You say, is there pain involved? You better believe there is. Is there humility involved? You better believe there is. Wherever healing occurs, pain will be present. It's going to be present anyway, by the way. But wherever healing occurs, pain and humility are always a part of that process. Always a part of that process. So Jesus, he stood up and said to her, "Woman, where are they? Where are they? Has no one condemned you?" See what the Lord does for us? If we stop caring what everybody else thinks about us, he'll get rid of all the people that want to condemn us. Amen?
Yes.
And it'll just be you and him. And then he'll ask you again, where are your accusers? Where's your condemners? Where's all the people that told you you'd never amount to anything? Where's all the people that said you weren't worth anything? Where's all the people that basically said you would never become anything with your life? Where are they? These are great questions. And she said, no one. Somebody say it, what? No one what? Lord. Greek word kurios. Lord. No one, Lord. Jesus said, these are some of the most powerful words ever written in the history of mankind. Neither do I condemn you. Go, and from now on, sin no more. Sin no more. A translation to this. Now she said, no one, Lord. And said, so Jesus, neither I you condemn. Go. From now on, no more sin. How do we have a new beginning with Jesus? Number two, you realize Jesus isn't condemning you. Whoever it is that is condemning you. And do you know what it means to condemn? Means that there's no hope of redemption. There's no hope of salvation. Condemnation is not someone drawing attention to the fact that your life needs to change. That's not condemnation. That's avoidance. All of us have things in our lives that need to change. Let me just tell you right now. I could take a poll, and I won't do this because I don't embarrass anyone, but I could ask the question, does anybody want to be married to somebody that won't ever change? Oh, okay. All right. Okay. We all have to change. We're not talking about change. We're not talking about the metamorphosis, the transformation that God has for our life. What we're talking about are the voices that say, you're condemned and there's no hope for you. Why don't you just give up? Why don't you give in? Why don't you give out? Jesus isn't condemning you. From the now, go. Sin no more. So here's number three. How do we have a new beginning with Jesus? Live differently. Live differently. Live differently. You know as well as I do the definition of insanity, to do the same thing expecting different results. God is transforming us. He's making us into new creations. Do you understand that? God is transforming us. And so when Jesus says, go, be different. You don't have to be that person. You don't have to be identified. And I want to tell you something I read this past week that broke my heart. And I won't say her name. But there's a young lady on TikTok and on OnlyFriends. Is it OnlyFriends, right? My Friends, whatever it is. She's 23 years old. She's pregnant now. And she films pornographic videos and sells them to whoever wants to watch them. And one day, she had sex with 100 men. It's a true story. Just recently happened. And she said after about the 10th man, she just basically blacked out. And consciously, she doesn't remember the other 90. And the only reason why she remembers the other 90 is because she has videos to prove that she had sex with them. This is the world we live in today. Desperately wanting somebody to love them. And this is who Jesus is. Jesus is the lover of the broken. Jesus is the lover of the broken. Jesus is the friend of sinners. The religious meant it as an insult. Jesus takes it as a compliment. Hear me on this. Jesus wants to be your friend and is proud to be your friend. And we take risk in this church to reach the lost, to reach the people who desperately are in need of a friend who loved them enough to die for them and was resurrected on their behalf. You don't have to be the person you used to be. And see, love is not the acceptance of the destructive behavior of our lives. Love is, I will allow your sin to cost me. I will allow your sin. And listen to me. Whenever you love sinners, you know what they're going to do to you? They're going to persecute you. Because they're not sure that your love's real. They're not sure they can trust it. They're not sure you're for real. They've never seen anything like this before. Everybody else I know just out for themselves. I don't know. See, Jesus rescues us from our hypocritical critics and protects us from condemnation. He rescues us from our hypocritical critics, and he protects us from condemnation. Jesus isn't here to condemn you. Say, no, no, listen. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. But John 3:17, we leave this one out. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn it. And why did he send it? To save you and me.
Thanks for listening to the Vanguard Central podcast. We encourage you to go out and live your faith in real relationship with Jesus and with others. God bless you, friend. See you next time.